You turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In the Bible, we know of a man who was very much of a Jew, and he considered himself perfect, or close to it. He lived by the law, and he compared himself to others with a lot of confidence, with a lot of security, in what he did and who he was. He wore his credentials on his sleeve, and he wasn't ashamed to show it. He boasted, "If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh," he says, "I have more. So that's circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I'm a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, tracking them down, imprisoning them, even killing them. And as for legalistic righteousness, I am faultless." Then in this man, something changed. He began to call himself a sinner. As he went through life, he called himself the worst of all sinners. He considered all of his credentials, he said, rubbish, garbage, a loss, and began to speak daily of God's grace. So the story goes, the history about this man is that he was on his way on a road to capture, to interrogate some Christians. And on his way, it says from history that suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So Saul, he got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see. The story later goes on to tell that then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up. He was baptized. He took some food, regained his strength. This man was changed. He was transformed. And no longer did he boast of his credentials that were on his arm, all that he had done, all that he thought that he was, but he began to boast of Jesus. In Philippians, he writes, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Let us pray. Father God, we come to You today, not just to hear words, Lord, but to be touched by You, to be transformed, to be changed, to experience the living God. So God, we ask You, we welcome You, we love You, to be here with us. Speak to our hearts. Take us on the journey with You, God. Show us Your way. Teach us about Your grace and Your love. Teach us about Paul. Most of all, teach us about You, God. the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What happened to Saul? His name changed. His life changed. What happened to him? Somehow he moved from one place to another. His whole life changed from one person to another. And I see it being his movement from the law to now grace. A man whose whole life was changed by Jesus from the law to grace. And a lot of times I find myself being in similar shoes, struggling with the same thing. We say a tug of war, if we go to the next slide. A tug of war between the law and grace. The way that we see others, many times becomes a tug of war. We see them by the law, or do we see them through grace? The church, in today's age, struggles in the same way. To come together here, are we together in the sense of law, or are we together in the sense of grace? Maybe on the way here, we see someone speed by us. We're doing 70. They go by us at 75. And we look at them and say, they're speeding. Where have we just lived? Was it the law or was it grace? Or we see as we're walking through the mall or somewhere a woman that is gladly dressed. And we immediately, judgments jump into our mind. It's difficult to just look at others in a way that expresses grace instead of the law. When we look at ourselves, when I screw up, which is many times, I bring the gavel of the law down upon myself. It causes me to whirlwind separate from God into a condemnation under the law. When we are under pain of some type that we can't figure out, like in the days of Job, we begin to try to reason. Every reason. Was it my sin? Was it the other person's sin? Was it my messing up? I didn't follow the law, and that's why this happened to me. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes we just don't know. When we fall or another person's fall, what do we look for? The law? Some of us do. But most of us look for a grace. When others stumble, they look for grace. This tug of war goes on within us, in our relationships, within our own view, as we look in the mirror for ourselves, even our view of God. Is He a God just of the law? Or is He God just of grace? Or where is He? As we read through, as we take a journey through the pages of Romans, we're going to be looking at these concepts and how He viewed grace. When we get to Romans chapter 7, we see Paul in this struggle, this tug of war, this battle with the law and with grace. And we praise God when we get to Romans chapter 8, the very first verse. For Romans hinges on this verse. It's the door that opens. It's the new that comes. A change now leaps from the pages and from the mouth of Paul about something new. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you feeling condemned today? Are you feeling free? Because through Christ Jesus, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's read that together. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. These verses resonate with other verses that are close to my heart. John 8:32. If you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, four verses later in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Romans 8:15-16. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. The fear of the condemnation, the fear of the law. But you received the spirit of sonship, of daughtership. And we have to say, for a lot of us, the way we grew up was underneath that condemnation. It's a struggle to escape out from underneath it. That fear that always come down. You had fathers and parents who were always showing grace. Where's the middle? Goes on to say, for you did not receive, or by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Today we ask the question, are you free? Are you free? Are you living in a prison? Do you live under the law? Or do you live by the grace that's given to you? And in a freedom? What's your view of God when you come to pray? A judge that's watching over you, a condemning father. One who's loving and giving grace, mercy. Is it a father that will discipline because he loves you, but then hold your hand and walk through it with you? What's your view of yourself? Look in the mirror. Are you always feeling like you don't measure up? You got to get one step higher, then people will accept you. What is your view of others? Do you carry the same view that you have of yourself then over to others, or the same view of God? Then you become God and place it onto others. Struggle. I know for myself it's a struggle. But I believe God is calling us to a freedom for each of us. To live in that grace. I really believe there's a balance between the law and grace. But when we have Jesus, it always tips towards that grace. Today we begin a journey. We're going to look through the book of Romans, examine the pages, and hopefully we will discover the correct understanding. I've entitled this sermon series, Real Grace. Are you living it? Real grace. Are you living it? Because I know for myself, it's a struggle. Let's go ahead and look at Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. We're going to bring those up. Why don't we go ahead and read together. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call the people from among all the nations to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. I like that last verse. And you also. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this verse by verse. We're going to go to the next slide, bring up verse 1. Paul. And it's interesting that in the Bible we can gain a lot of meaning. What was his name before? Saul. And he doesn't call himself Saul here, he calls himself Paul. He's obviously trying to stress very much that no longer am I Saul, and I think it's a change to say I am out from under the weight of condemnation, and now I live in the freedom of the grace of Christ Jesus. If you want to write notes in your outline there for you, then next we see that he's a servant of Christ Jesus. A servant means someone else is your master, your Lord. And we see that his Lord, the one that he follows, he obeys, the one that is supreme and ultimate, the final say, the one who gives decision maker, the one who drives his cars, the captain of his boat, is Christ Jesus. The one who died on the cross, who was humiliated on the cross, who was whipped and beaten and laughed at, that person is his master because he knows that the blood flowed down to him to give him grace. He's called to be an apostle. And we'll look more at that at verse 7, apostle, and not only his general work that he's to do, but he has a specific people group that he reaches out to. And he's set apart for the gospel of God. His life taken out of the ashes, out of the rubbish, and set apart. We go on to verses 2 and a little bit of 3. He says that he's an apostle of the gospel. And the gospel he promised that Jesus and God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. A lot of times in the Old Testament, he's actually prophesying about what would happen. And a lot of the prophecies were about Jesus. If we look at Isaiah 53, we read through that, we see very much of a prophecy of a servant, a suffering servant, who would become Messiah. One verse says in Isaiah 53:5, and listen to the grace in this for you, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Luke chapter 2 in the New Testament actually speaks about a rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man treats Lazarus real bad. The rich man dies. He goes to hell. And he's in hell. He's saying that, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus, the poor man, to my father's household. For I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied that they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he says, no, Father Abraham. He said, if someone from the dead raises up and goes to them, then they will repent and listen. He said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not convince, even if someone rises from the dead. Who rose from the dead? Jesus rose from the dead. But people still did not hear his words of forgiveness and grace, of truth that causes us to react and act in certain ways. We go on to verse 3 there. Paul's introduction of himself. He says, regarding his son, who is Jesus, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. This gospel that Paul is an apostle of is connected directly to the Son. Jesus, who we find out here is or was human. It very much just says to me one thing, that he can relate to you and I. He can relate to you. Says that he was tempted in the same way, but was without sin. Philippians 2:7, it says that he took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Even though he is fully God, we know from scriptures that God in Jesus came from heaven to earth to what? Show us the way. He understands us. He came to save us. The next part says that through the Spirit of holiness, he was declared with the power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. He's declared the Son of God by what? By his teachings? He was a great teacher. When he was done teaching, they were in awe. By his miracles, made the lame to walk, the blind to see. He made dead to rise. That gave him his power. No, it doesn't say that. By the cross it must be. By the blood shed on the cross, it must be that that now declares him as the Son of God. And Paul says here, the most important thing is a resurrection of the dead. Have you risen from the dead? Are you living in that life, that new life of grace? Or still under the condemnation of the law? It's a resurrection from the dead. He's the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Messiah. Your view of the world, is it a resurrection view? There's hope. There's a newness. There's something that's coming in this person. Of yourself. Yeah, you know, I kind of messed up there, but you know, Jesus, if I continue to walk with him, I'm gonna rise to this new life which he has for me. I'm gonna throw in and live. The old is gone, the new has come. Even the calendar will change with the coming of the Savior. Paul gives all of these qualifications, and at the very end, he just puts it point blank. This is Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one who has come for you and I. And who is he? He is our Lord. It doesn't say Jesus Christ the lawgiver. It doesn't say Jesus Christ the Superman. He's just Lord. And we come under his lordship in every way. Verse 5. Paul continues in his introduction of himself and who he is to bring the gospel of the Son. And this is the Son who came, was human. He's declared the Son of God through the resurrection. And then it says here in verse 5, and through him, Jesus, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles. The obedience comes from faith. Through him and for his name's sake, we received love? No. Received forgiveness? No. We received the law? No. We received a pat on the back because we did a really good job, and now he says, you're okay. Nope. Chooses one word, the first word. Word that defines who Paul is now. received grace. Which very much says of him that I received grace. I was once lost and now am found. I once was dead and now I'm alive. I once was a really bad sinner, worst of sinners, so he says. I was drowning in my sin and God lifted me up to be saved. That's what he's saying. And he says it over and over and over again throughout the book of Romans. I received grace. And you just think of Paul's heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The first thing we see that he receives is grace. When you wake up in the morning, or when you come to church, or when you read the Word of God, or when you are serving the Lord, whatever you're doing, is that the first thing you think of receiving from God? Any takers? A lot of times for me it's not. But man, when I wake up in the morning and that's the first thing I think of, my day begins pretty good. And for most of it's the same. Just to live in that freedom of that grace that I received from Jesus, so Paul says. But he didn't just receive that. He received an apostleship, which we saw in verse 1. He was called to be an apostle, and this describes it a little bit more. An apostle called from among all the Gentiles. Okay? He has a not only a general calling many times we have, but we have a specific calling. A specific calling is for him to go to the Gentiles. An easy way to define Gentiles is someone who's not a Jew. For many of us, that would be us. He has this specific calling. But this apostleship also speaks to me that not only has he received a grace, but he's received a work or a calling to do. And I like the way in which he orders this and the fact that he says we first received, and we need to keep it in this order. First, I received my grace. Jesus met me on the road. He blinded me. He showed me who he was, and he showed me the truth about the law and about the grace. And then I was changed and transformed, and then I was on the right road. And then he came and he called me to be an apostle. I really believe that in our lives we need to keep the grace first. I think it keeps us in as who we are. It keeps us in a reality. Because the word grace speaks a truth. It speaks a truth about who God is, and it speaks about truth who we are. Simply said, I'm a sinner. That's who I am. And who God is, he's the one who saved me by grace through Jesus. Do we understand that? Do we receive that? The second part he gets is he received an apostleship, or his calling, or his work. Work is good. We are called to work and labor for the Lord. We are called to serve Him. But many times, if we put the work before the understanding of the grace, we get things a little bit screwed up. Things just happen to us that aren't quite now fitting together the way that all the Scriptures are talking about. And we begin to believe a lie. And the lie tells us that I am what I do. I am what I do. My worth is defined and determined by my work. Now, I want you to write some of these down and transform. I'm a product of my production and my performance. I tell you what, standing up here preaching, I know I'm called to do it, but I'm thinking, man, if I don't perform, if my work is not good, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then I'm not really worth much. Seeing me. I get a little bit confused in the whole thing. We also say that if we can't juggle all the balls, then we'll be judged. Right? Keeping life in order. Life gets a little out of order. Whoa, dropped one. Pick it up. Whoa, pick it up. Pick it up. You know? People see that your life is a little bit out of control. And how do you feel? Whew. Feeling a lot of grace. No, a lot of times we feel a lot of judgment. Condemnation. Drop the ball. Somebody get it. Somebody get it. And then somebody reaches down and says, here you go. And how do you feel? Thank you. That's what I needed. Grace has come. How many of you are human doings? Or are you a human being? It's difficult. It's a tug of war. It's a struggle that we need to figure out. Living under the law and the doing, the action and the juggling, the work. Putting that with my worth is not necessarily in all my work. My worth is in Christ Jesus. I'm saved and secured by what He's done for me. I feel free. I feel forgiven, redeemed. And now I want to go out and be an apostle. I want to go out and be a servant. Make me a servant, humble and meek, Lord, because I once was a sinner. I was nothing. I understand the truth, Lord, about who You are and who I am. And I understand the word grace. And how You've taken me, You pulled me out of the pit. I didn't deserve it. But You did that for me. And so I say thank You. It's difficult. And throughout Romans, Paul is making a defense. I would say he's even screaming, don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Because you're going to get a little bit confused. It's going to be a struggle in your heart. It's going to weigh on you day after day. I can't get out. I'm sweating. I'm crying. Romans chapter 7. Paul. We each have that struggle. Until we get to Romans 8:1. Are you living in the freedom? Are you living in Jesus? And Paul, in his introduction of it, says, I've received this grace. I've received this calling. I am free. I am free. I'm free to run. Free to dance. I'm free to live for You, Jesus. Verse 6. I think we missed a few, but that's okay. Can you hit it again? Bring it one more time. Verse 6. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Christ Jesus. You also. He doesn't say anything, here, come and list your credentials, your resume, give me, you know, all the references. You know, he's sitting up there. Now, okay, now you belong. He's saying, if you believe in Jesus, if you come to, if you receive Him, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus. Are you free? Are you living in a prison? Saying you no longer have to be in that prison. You can come out and belong to Jesus. Now, if we're able to, time has expired. Go home, turn on YouTube, and listen to Amazing Grace by Chris Tomlin. That's what we were going to do. Take a journey with him in God's amazing grace. I think we have Romans 8, 1 through 2 up here. Thank you. Let's read this together, and then we're going to pray. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, stop. Back to verse 1. Let's start again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You believe that? Amen. All right. Let's read it one more time. Let it just receive it in your heart. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Father God, we bow before you right now. Father God, I have been in a struggle, and many of my brothers and sisters have been in a struggle, Lord. And we ask that you today, God, would come and set us free from our prison. God, we don't want to just live as a product of our performance and our production. God, we don't want to live as just people, God, that are worthy and we have worth because of our works. And God, we don't want to continue to judge ourselves or judge others because we can't juggle all the balls, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would give us a full understanding of your grace, how you reached down your hand. More than that, God, how you became a man to reach down to us. And then you, Lord Jesus, rose from the dead saying, I have set you free, for I am free. I have Satan, and so now you are free. And now there's no condemnation. Not because of what you've done or you haven't done, but there's now no condemnation for you are in Christ Jesus. And God, we want to live there. We want to live under your throne. We don't want to move out from underneath there. God, keep us there. Help our brothers and sisters to keep us there. Lord, speak over to us with your Spirit speaking to our spirit that we are your children. We are your children, Lord. In our prayers, God, may we pray with the Abba Father Spirit. We cry out to you, Abba Father, Daddy, I need you. I made this mistake. I had this problem. And he'll say, I love you. God, give us the same heart, the heart of the Father. To say it's okay to our brothers and sisters. Father God, Paul has introduced himself to us today. Help us to continue on this journey and to know you more. In the name of Jesus, we pray.